Roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Sandoval. Absent. Trustee Simoncelli.
Present.
Trustee Chiffin.
Present.
Trustee Wyszynski.
Present.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate the opportunity to share my observations, assessments. Certainly, I'm enjoying the opportunity, the challenge of being part of the village in all aspects, as a resident, as an employee, as someone that certainly cares, that wants to be part of the team to make a positive difference as best as we can. As you know, I've been here a little over 6 months, and I do look forward to doing the work that you did. To me, that's essential. This is a little bit of a step backwards. As I think most of you know, I spent 23 years in the Air Force. And there was policies, procedures, and processes for lots of things. And I lightheartedly remember being told there's only one way to give a presentation. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Go through and tell them. And then summarize to tell them what you told them. So the meat of it is in those bullets. And summarize at the end. Please do, as we go forward, ask questions. Hopefully at the end, there's a collective, let's call it a wrap-up discussion. This is a beginning, in my perspective. Certainly, I do not come with all the answers today. In fact, you will not see very many. We absolutely need to do this different. You're going to see it certainly as suggestions, as from my perspective, some needs, some improvement, preventive maintenance. You've heard that from me before. But I very much realize we have finite resources. And that will continue to be a substantive factor in how we improve going forward. And I want to provide some information that fairly briefly reflects our responsibility to the Public Works Department. But hopefully to the staff or others, there are a variety and number of bits and pieces of tasks in those responsibilities that we need to accomplish to successfully maintain, operate, maintain, and hopefully less and less have to repair the infrastructure that we have. That kind of talks to the second bullet of preventive maintenance tasks. You'll see that functional area by functional area in just a moment. Some thoughts on how best to accomplish the preventive maintenance. But again, I need some guidance and feedback from you, the board, so that I, Mark, and I can spend some more time trying to put some more specific proposals together to bring back for adoption, for guidance, for policy, and yes, for some allocation of money. I had a couple of special topics, and I apologize, that should have come off. Things like parkway trees, as an example. And Mark and I, going through this, we thought that would start mixing up too many different things with the overall assessment. So maybe follow-up committee, the whole type discussion. What do we do with several different things that the public seemingly is really interested in, having parkway trees at this point? And then again, towards the end, some discussion, please give me some feedback, how we go forward to deal with the challenges that I'm going to be focusing on. Why does public work suggest operate, maintain, repair the existing infrastructure, certainly position ourselves for growth if when that kicks back in? We're not you know better than I the types of incidents, other man-made incidents like accidents. We need to be able to respond in a timely and effective manner, not necessarily in isolation. Our role in most accidents is minimal, but certainly traffic control, cleanup can be our responsibility. Cooperation with other governmental agencies to maximize the support collectively provided. Bottom line on that, I've been interacting informally with our resident agencies. I need to do more of that, and I need to continue to do that. I feel good about the informal support we're able to get, we Public Works, and on occasion provide to other public sector organizations. And I want to say, almost unanimously, my crew members enjoy being part of providing community support. Certainly I do, and we want to continue to do that support for which you, the board, want to make happen, will make happen. You'll see one slide here after a bit that talks the manpower that we have committed in previous events, not event by event. So it's simply a matter of being cognizant that there is some on-the-clock time in supporting those things. Just a quick review of the resources that we have today. The current fiscal year budget, Public Works budget, and water sewer split out as currently a good chunk of that overall water sewer fund goes to us purchasing water, distributing it, and sending wastewater through the regional wastewater treatment facility in Fox Lake. Brief review, as it's fairly easy to intermingle what is an operational task, what is a maintenance task, what is a repair task. And there's not in any means a precise break line there, but operating is using the infrastructure to make some benefit happen. Piping someone else's potable water, testing it, documenting that it is safe to drink, those are operational plans. Similarly, sending someone else's sewage to another governmental agency is an operational plan. Conversely, cleaning that sewer line is a maintenance task. Responding to a blockage in that sanitary sewer arguably is a repair task. And my whole point in that, my perspective, we've spent more and more time repairing things, less and less time maintaining. I've got a slide coming up there, hopefully hit home on that. And so we tended to lose the focus, kind of accepting, okay, what are we going to repair today? That's not how we should run this railroad. And that's this slide. I'm not the original thinker on this, but a lot of what we do is circular. And the more we react, the more we react, easier to draw this than to make it happen, but somehow we need to get ahead of the power curve, stop that circular action going the way it is, get more into the maintenance, i.e. be proactive, plan our day, and deliver on our planned day. This will create over time more hours, and if I use man hours, forgive me, that term I grew up with. I know I shouldn't say person hours or just hours, but anyway. How we reverse this cycle, it's going to take time, it's going to take some good planning and delivery, and hopefully over time we get more into maintaining than reactionary repair. Hopefully you'll accept that there is a Murphy's Law, or lots of Murphy's Laws. One of those Murphy's Laws is Murphy always bites the hardest at the absolute wrong time. I'm going to step through fairly quickly each functional area. This was a good exercise for me to run laundry list and put the paper laundry list various tasks of substance that we do in each functional area. Think about my 6 months here and what is my assessment. And in some cases I just said we're 100% compliant. We're good. Others, and you've heard this from me before, they need to exercise our mainline shutoff valve, like a diaphragm and enrollment. Hopefully explaining the impact of not doing. I also then tried to make a statement, well, what do we need to do organizationally? Most of that's within public works, within my purview to do. And what are the hours per year we have been committing? Or in many of the preventive maintenance tasks should be committing to, again, preserve, maintain, and improve the existing infrastructure.
You're on?
Yes.
Okay. So 100 hours per year for testing is what you need because you're 100%.
Correct.
So that 5% valve exercise, does that 800 hours per year represent what you really need or what you're doing now.
Thank you for asking for that clarification. That's where we should be. And I'm not here to tell you that's an absolute number. It's an assessment that involved my staff. What do we think it will take on average to go out and do a day's worth of turning on mainline valve? Some cases, an hour per valve is too conservative. Other cases, we're going to have to spend some time trying to work it, hopefully getting it to open. We close it, we reopen it. There's no easy way to shoot WD-40 if I'm learning that. Please, as you just did, ask for that clarification. So, from the last time we exercised valves, about that being about 3 years ago, I'm told, that was done by contract. The contractor advised us there was 40 that they could not turn. They were frozen open. We'll jump ahead to that for a moment. And so there's a repair need there. Not surprising, most of those valves are in the older part of camp. I'm going to jump to a diagram here. Each of those X's is where we have a inline shutoff valve. This represents the water main in the road. So just very briefly, if there was a main break somewhere in that area, and if that valve did not work, or if that valve did not work, that valve and that valve, we would then have to isolate this entire area to make a repair, and so there would be a whole bunch more people out of water for the number of hours it took. And that has happened on Pineview in this area.
Also, for you that identified that aren't showing up, do we have multiples that are right by each other that are intersecting what you just gave that scenario, or are they scattered through the back of the
area? They're scattered through the older, more established part of the
building.
Good question. I can't tell you by memory, but I certainly can check.
But also knowing why they're getting up water and why they're getting here in the winter with the freezing, correct? So that would be something I'm going to think about prioritizing those ones first, especially if there are two or more that are right on the same line.
They would, right. Okay. A very good and key word, prioritization. And in and of itself, we need to be more thoughtful of and what we do and how we go about it so we can at least chip away at the biggest problems first.
They're saying these 40 valves are frozen in the open position right now, so they can't get water.
I'm sorry?
You can get water out of them because they're frozen open.
Right. You can't turn it off.
Right.
Winter certainly is a time of the year where historically water mains break. We have a considerable cleaning footage of cast iron water mains. The transitional time period, call it late fall, and then early spring, and the temperature in the ground starts changing, a little hairline crack expands a little bit, and next thing we got water bubbling out.
How do we serve up that exercise 3 years ago? Because I've been asking since I was in office when the last time we exercised it, because I wasn't aware if it was done like 18 or 20 years ago. And that means planning on following through with the program, and I never got an answer that we got exercising with any reason.
That sounds like
the number from the time that I remember that we had about 49 pumps in the valve. And you were planning on doing a certain number per year to try to get them done, and I never heard that we actually implemented the program.
I'm going to say this, Tim, and it's because it aggravates me. As a new kid on the block, and I realize my honeymoon's over, 2 months, I'm still only as good as the information given to me. And so I know I have that question, and I know I was told it was possibly 3 years ago by contract. So
At that time, years ago, we did have contract to come in with a torque-operated machine. And where there was stubborn valves that would go through certain torque pressure and back off and exercise until it freed up. And 40 sounded like the number that they were unable to safely move. So yeah, I'm curious as do you have any documentation that it was really done since?
Pardon the fun, let me dig into this one. And get with you and Mark and the whole board.
Point being, we may be in worse shape than intuitive stuff.
For sure. And the sad commentary, when I was told 40, I obviously then asked, well, how many have we replaced? And the answer was not.
But over centuries, we did complete water main replacement.
But by ourselves, we have not dug up any and replaced it. We can do that. Whether we can do that efficiently, my perspective, and this is a good example, I'd like to try. I'd like to be able to do most thing, but not all, that we likely would do by contract. If we were going to do all 40 at once, maybe that'd be a no-brainer. We'll put a good package together and go contract them down. If we have good information and it is something that can be prioritized, and it's not a man-hour killer, I am of the perspective, again, that in those tasks, we should be able to storm manholes in high school building. Would a contractor have done that faster? Absolutely. From my vantage point, it was task that needed to be done. It was an isolated task. It was something I felt we could do. Thank you for the support in that. And for sure the recognition. I mean, we say that. My guys were walking a whole bunch taller after taking on a task like that. So,
But again, I absolutely would get back to you with, hopefully total information, where we're at, where we, when we last, get that information.
Hi.
Wait.
Obviously, as a village and as a public worker, based on what I've worked, not something strict. As far as checking the bills, when they checked them, when they left, checking them, if they were working and if they were broke. So this is something we as a board can put in place that goes on for 50 years where they have to do that. You know, I mean, I think something needs to be done.
No,
you're saying 18 years, you're saying, you know, the whole three, but you came, nobody really knows that that's something that should be part of the job description. You keep up on that year after year, month after month.
Well, when Doug Rowley was a board director, he did have those valve exercise. So that I know
that's sort of the last that I was going to.
Yeah. Right.
They had long since he left.
Right.
No, what has been known is what Vicki said, what Ron is doing on this, because we're trying to close the loop with Ron with what he started a few years ago. We should be reporting that, and they should be reporting what they have done as far as work. That has been tracked as far as I know, and I've seen it tracked. And Davis was here maybe a year or two after I got here. We implemented the utilization report, which we're not doing now, pending Ron's review, in terms of what's supposed to be done. But they would track everything that they did. How many hydrant plugs, how many feet of pavement, how many potholes, on a monthly basis. And they do do it, last I saw, on a weekly basis, though, of their activities, as well as the equipment utilization and what have they were doing. But the point that what never occurred subsequently was, all right, we got all the data, now we need to get this data and see what the real impact is. How many hours do we spend in reactionary? How many hours do we spend in doing preventive maintenance? What are we spending it on? Where do we see our problems? That's where we're going with this. That is the whole thing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they should have been tracking it. They were tracking it for a couple of years. I don't remember what happened to Valdez. I don't know if he asked me that. So if I'm starting, yeah, I don't recall you asking me that, but we got it written down now. But they should have been tracking it the last couple of years.
Well, what
are they working
with? Yeah. I think the issue is, if you don't have a plan, they could be tracking it. But if you're not comparing it to plans, so you're not saying, okay, we've done 15 and we still have 60 to go or whatever it is. So you might be tracking it, but you need some kind of plan that you can track progress against, I think.
Yeah.
And develop an annual audit just to make sure.
Right.
You know, to look at every 6 months, every 9 months, every 12 months,
to proceed where we're standing. I believe presentation, while I do not have all the answers, I feel that I'm adequately grounded to know where we need to put more emphasis. Whether we can afford that emphasis, a separate discussion. And Greg, you said it absolutely perfect. Need a plan, a roadmap, where we should go with the resources we have. You'll see a slide summarizing that on an annual basis. Put more definition to that monthly, then weekly, then daily. I'm going to spend 800 hours in a year, I want to be able to put the paper, I can put the paper, I will put the paper, that's going to be predominantly in the summer months. But then I'm going to play the juggling game, okay, if I put too much emphasis, I'm valve exercising in the favorable weather, what am I not doing? So there's a given day, but it'll arrive at a point. Adjusted on a monthly basis and on a weekly basis with more definition.
So what they've done in the past is they use the seasonal help to exercise the valve. Help exercise those valves. So you could use okay. that also.
That's interesting. Do you train people to be able to document what problems you had, what problems you didn't help make the necessary answer?
I'm just saying what they've done in the past, they've used people now to do it.
What I can turn on to your comment, 2011, we did some hydrant flushing. And I was a permanent employee, and that was the part-time employee, Brian, at the time. And that was documented, and it identified, as you see right there, 18 hydrants that need some repair, at the worst, remove and replace, somewhat minor type repair. Mark's comment and the whole comment about documentation, sadly, I can't tell you if we fix all 18 of them. I should be able to. That's a no-brainer. How sophisticated we get in a computerized database, while I've wondered that, and I've been part of that in other organizations. And Steve and I, Mark and I, have had some discussion on that. I don't know what the right answer is as far as how sophisticated. But even if it's pencil and paper, ought to have a, like Mark said, a report easily available and on a monthly basis, this is what we did, or on a weekly basis. Sadly, we're not doing that today. Continuing with water, we get a considerable number of people moving in, moving out, Joel Moldenor predominantly is our water person, and so while this varies month to month, his time allocated to his time utilization, that's definitely a reasonable time that has been spent. We've got a number of e-boxes that we shut off that need to be cleaned or adjusted so that they're functional. When we go to do a turn on, or more accurately a turn off, there's some repetitiveness of difficulty of shutting off the service. We have been distributing on a monthly basis what special yellow gas, the final notice to residents, businesses that you didn't pay on time, you didn't pay on the second mail bill, so you got until typically it's 3 days in the future to pay your bill, otherwise your water will be turned off.
So that's why you segregate that from other service turn on off, because it's a separate different process.
Correct. Thank you for bringing me back. That's time spent delivering and taping that yellow notice to the door. We don't knock on the door. And I've done this twice, just to see for myself, what all is involved. And I've had a few people say, well, can I pay you in cash? Short conversation, of course you can.
So you say you want to eliminate the OPEG?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Because it takes, on average, about 20-plus hours a month of just delivering them.
Could we do something like maybe mailing them the notice?
They've already done it. So if you send them the second notice, they're not paying. I could send them. I would eliminate it until just one final notice saying, but everybody's saying the old tags are gone. And I think that'll be a substantial savings right there. And you don't pay your other bill things that are service off you. You don't pay your app guests and turn it off. They don't come in cash and be able to put a sign on your door. Yeah, so I don't see why we should.
As long as we make that announcement to everybody.
You could put in next
on the website.
Bill. On the website, put it in like the next bill that goes out.
Right.
You know, this is your advance notice that we'll expect it as this case. We're going to stop doing it. We're no longer doing it.
Right.
But then it's provided. You okay? You're done.
The actual...
I didn't know about that, too. It's, you know, we've already implemented it.
There's a phone call, and this one is on that next one, you know, there's
up until you're paying off.
Well, I want to, you know, really, really small percentage. So I think that we're carrying off, you know, we've got 5,000 plus services. You know, it's such a small percentage, but it takes, you know, the labor for that small, small percentage.
And the addiction market, would you?
Oh, we'll carry over, and that they would never be able to catch up.
Yeah.
So if we stop the yellow tax, my next question is, you know, obviously they're not getting their bills anyway, so we're going to have a one-time hit where they say, well, I didn't get a yellow tag, and you shut me off, and I, you know.
You
know.
Okay. I didn't get my bill until after the I didn't get the notice, or I didn't get the notice, and the shut-off notice, and then it can go to the same.
System, we are required to check chlorine concentration. Some of you might recall there was a cast of an automatic chlorine concentration sampling device, and it had computer readout capability. It was terminated, the cast, without any action. I've heard, because I've asked a variety of stories within my organization, I do want to reassess that. Again, there's a fair amount of hours that might, could be done by a machine. Utility locate, during the growth period of the village, that number was probably 3 times what it is, but there's still Group Julie, us to go locate our water, sanitary sewer. Meaningful amount of time. It's a good system. We don't think I'm complaining. It's an operational task that we need to do. Fortunately, and I'm not superstitious, but I'm not yet at a main break here. I've lived through my share of main breaks in Waukegan, Highland Park, and Air Force Base. I'm comfortable we will fit the main break in a 2 to 6 hour time period, hopefully not in the dead of winter where it becomes difficult to pay back the road. Again, having all our valves functional will end several of those future main breaks at least have the minimum impact in terms of number of residents. We need to spend some time inspecting and cleaning the exterior and interior of our reservoir and then water tower. Mid-October board meeting, I will be bringing some quotes to clean the exterior of our 2 water towers, and we will then spot paint areas that have been now rusting because seemingly kids have been throwing rocks, and that rust breaking the paint on. A couple of years from now, we do need to repaint the exterior of both our water towers. Yes, of course, a couple of years from now. And there's the paper end of keeping the Illinois EPA informed, US EPA, and how we're doing in our water. Unfortunately, 1D has been Mark Kowarski in the paperwork end of our water. supply and confirmation of sampling and testing. So I do want to get someone trained up at LVM, and think his place should be right off to the sunset. I don't want anyone to be to anything. That's it for water. So I'm going to try and pick up the pace a little bit, walk through the rest of these. We've talked before about our lift station and the pumps. We're into the third pump that has been pulled that was in seal fail. It only needs seals. So its material expenditure has been estimated at $500. We got one more that's in seal fail. We will get to that in the month of October. But then to get into some pulling of the pumps for checking the impeller, seeing if there's wear ring in the seal so that we hopefully get out in front of a failure. Most of our lift stations only have two pumps, so if one goes down in the wet season where we could have and do have infiltration, we're kind of on the, not where we want to be. So definitely from my perspective, we need to do more at maintaining the lift station pumps. And part and parcel of that's cleaning the wet wells to suck out debris that can damage or plug a pump impeller, margin lift station, for whatever reason, tends to have like a rag accumulation. And we have to pull that pump on a, not a weekly basis. Fortunately, it's an easy one to pull, clean, and reinstall. Mark and I have some discussion, and we'll have further discussion. Can we minimize how many racks we pull to still be at comfort? We've got a good functional pump that's running smooth. So there's been some refinement on that effort. The system control that switched the pumps and able to take generator power. Only 5 of our 13 lift stations have installed generators. That's a separate discussion, but the whole lift station system is a very critical resource, and having confidence that they can sleep well at night, you can sleep well at night. Bottom line, we do need to spend some more effort on our lift station.
Real quick, Ron, what's a backup resource?
I have no way in-house to suck out the wet now.
It's an external.
Some communities, some private contractors, the county have back door. That's a product name, but you've probably seen them. High pressure jet rotter on the front end, big vacuum system and tank. I'll jump to a conclusion on that. Some of the belief that we have enough miles of 13 lift stations, enough lineal feet of sanitary sewer and manholes to go with that, and storm sewers, that us possessing a moderate size vacuum truck while they're spending $250,000 to $300,000 is a piece of equipment that we do need. That's my perspective. very definitely we've neglected maintaining our sanitary sewer system too long. We have occasional blockages in our sanitary line, much of it as best as we can ascertain when we go and open them up with our trailer mounted generator, tends to be greased. Grease cools down and solidifies and it starts building on itself. A lot of grease that we leave I want to try at least an educational campaign of the seeking resident help. Not to digress too much, but from where I came, the sanitary district there, went to various open houses, fairs, and gave away these little plastic scrape out your pan type spatula, put it in a trash bag, and put it in your solid waste. How effective that program was, I don't know. But things like that to try and get citizen help to reduce the grease load. Grease trap inspection is ours now. We did the inspection in 2010, did not in 2011. We will do it in the month of October. Mark and I need to spend some time. What do we do based on the results we get from the inspection? What's the enforcement and the encouraging and need some help on that. That's it for sanitary sewer. We've been using cold mix for virtually all our pothole patching. It's more spendy than hot mix, about $125 a ton for cold mix versus $55 a ton for hot mix. Somebody saw the demonstration we had of a hot box. There is money in this fiscal year capital budget for us to purchase one. We would make our own briquettes of hot mix. They'd be solidified. We'd throw it in the chamber, heat it up, pull it out to a site, and do a much more effective job of patching potholes. So that's a growth area in effort to try to do the best we can of preventing a small pothole from growing over time.
I'm sorry, I'm going to slow down for a quick minute, because I know this was before you came on board, we had multiple discussions about 2.5 months, right? I was just going to give you the question on it, and that we had things coming back where we were told basically the opposite about the cost.
It's more effective to use the hot pot, just the whole cap, keep going in the holes and popping out.
Right.
So it's more effective to use the hot pot.
But as a board, we were kind of getting to believe that the gas wasn't really necessary. And then we were also, I believe, under the pressure that the cold mix was even cheaper versus what you're saying is the opposite. Is that because of the combination with the man-hour cost ratio, or is it just the cold mix itself is still that much more expensive than hot mix?
Yeah, to your question specifically, Dawn, we buy our cold mix in full from Peter Baker. $125 per ton of cold mix.
And
they buy hot mix from Peter Baker over by Polo. When they're running, $55 a ton. Again, I signed the invoice.
Right, and then the hours to work the hot box probably going to be less, but it's not even, it's going to be hard to work to be cold.
work and does not have as good adhesion in the hole, especially if the hole is not, if it's moving around in its structural problem. Hot mix will be able to be compacted better in a little hole like that, and therefore last more. The hot box, and again, I don't want to spend too much time right now, you can turn it on at 2 in the morning, and it's ready to go to your charge of asphalt. We're okay in shoulder aggregate. Some of you know I fractured my ankle on the township road because the shoulder aggregate was about 3 inches below where it should have been. And that is a safety issue, a drainage issue, safety issue more for vehicles. Curb gutter repair in our newer subdivision with mountable curbs. We've got quite a proliferation of small to fairly big, ugly breakups of the curbing. It's an area I want to try and get an overall inventory, at least by street, to prioritize our efforts. We started and we're trying a couple of different bag patching materials. Very definitely, I get complaints in this area, and they're legitimate complaints. Similarly, sidewalk repair. We have, from last time we assessed in 2011, 675 identified locations of approaching an inch trip hazard, i.e. difference. I got a photograph or two up to some, let's call them, pretty serious trip hazards. We tackle those. Some of you might be aware, rented a grinder to not as pretty as the contract effort that we used, but a lot cheaper. And have tackled a number of the trip hazards, but still need for about the next 3 years to carry that effort forward. Crack sealing by contract, you'll hear from me Monday night where I'm at in the bid process to get our $50,000 delivered yet this year. Sweeping has been good by contract. I don't propose any changes there other than, as I did this year, contract was set up for once a month, whether we needed it or not, and I spread that to a six-week cycle for July and August. And so we won't have one of the clean angels save a little over $1,000 this year. Debris removal, miscellaneous stuff, we get called occasionally, or we see something ourselves. Quite variability in that. That's the best estimate, looking where we've been, looking forward. Again, it goes back to keeping track of what we do, so it's not as much of a guess, what do we need to go for.
I do have a question on your road pickup. And when you have like a call in from a police department, a deer or something, do you actually go during your lunch hour or do you wait till after your lunch is over to pick it up?
That's an unfair question, Mr. Newby.
Never mind.
We were having a celebration. The police officer was on scene. We know the location. And
I don't know the answer to the question. You don't have to answer that.
Good. Moving right along. Tape marking. We we don't have all that many line-holes or line-feet stripe. We don't have all that many legends. We do have a thermoplastic machine, and this is half common dirt, and I'm not very much an advocate of durable pavement marking, but that's my highway experience. And I know that it's got some sensitivity. My opinion is we should sell our thermoplastic scraper and contract out pavement marking. And I'm not looking for answers, but that proposal I bring forward to this.
I think the county will have to buy it.
Well, we would auction it. It would then free up that amount of time minus whatever contract oversight, and being someone that loves the smell of thermoplastic, find some time to get some oversight. We do check streetlights twice a month, at night obviously, and I thought about could we scale that back, not necessarily looking for an answer, scale back to like once a month, or provide the service, but we need to have a list of what's out. Certainly when people call in, that goes on a list and pay in warranty. We then spend the effort of relamping those that are out. My knowledge, we have not done wholesale relamping in recent years, and I'm not suggesting that. This one needs more work in definition, but in seeking input from my guys, we only have focused from the road, yeah, that lights out, and the person that goes out trying to do the relamping in a short time hasn't taken the time to check the ballast, to check, to clean the lens, or to see if the bolts inside the base are adequately fastened. Signage, regrettably, we've got a large quantity of 1,500, and that's an estimate. Another area where we need improvement is having an accurate inventory. But a large number of the signs we have are very definitely safe. There is federal mandate to have one in inventory and a multi-year replacement plan. There's been pushback just by cities, counties, states, to the feds, as it's an unfunded federal mandate. And it's kind of migrated to focus on the regulatory signs first. Stop signs, yield signs, speed limit signs. This winter, I and someone will drive around at night and one, have a complete inventory and a qualitative assessment of the performance of that of each and every sign. That's an estimate of how many hours we would spend in replacing signs that definitely need replacement. Where we can and where the sign is big enough, my desire to go to the square tube support rather than that U shape there. Better structurally and all in all, they're easier to install and replace. Storm sewer system, we've got, again, quite a bit of lineal footage. We've got about 2,400 inlet sketch basins. There's not been any credible inspection nor cleaning. My thought was a fairly aggressive approach in doing that inspecting and cleaning one time. There's nothing magic about 3 years. like trying to, again, get us as best as we can to having the most functional infrastructure that we already own. Some type, a Vactor-type resource is essential, again. We would tell lies at the time we clean that likely would be the same crew that goes out to clean and they televise while we're there. You're going to see a slide here in a moment of the inlet that two of my guys repaired, and they're extremely proud, as I would, of their effort. It had fallen apart to the point where the road was essentially. Just a couple of actual photos. We've got, unfortunately, a number of streets beyond crack seal. What do we do? Mark and I talked coming up with a more updated pavement management strategy to stretch our dollars further. Jim and I and Mark have some conversation about a thin treatment that has aggregate in it called microsurfacing. It's much more, much thicker than seal coat, as you've seen on driveways. It is approved by IDOT. Would it buy us additional years of service on a road like this? I think they had comfort by talking to those other jurisdictions that have used microsurfacing. Not an in-house product, a specialized equipment. This is the ugliest green subdivision street, and not to dwell on it too much, but the refuse truck, garbage truck, wheel loading exceeded the structural integrity capacity of the road. And it will continue to get worse. I've taken some core by a specialty company waiting on the results.
Where's that at?
Spring Valley Way, and there's the Prairie Springway, Valley Lakes North. But this phenomena, not as ugly as this, exists throughout all of the new subdivision roads.
So that's from garbage trucks,
you said? Well, let's say the garbage truck axle loading, weight going down on the pavement in a concentrated area, says it works. Midland, we were gearing up to do some in-house paving with hot mix. I saw that became pretty obvious. We need to do some Midland, eastbound, Greenwood. And the sad commentary is we did that about 5-6 years ago. So didn't do it right.
So that's not normal. For it to repeat, it looks like it repeated the exact same pattern.
So we hogged it out. We've got more photos. It's not part of this. Went down deeper, built it back up with about 6 inches of additional aggregate rock, and then 6 inches of hot mix paint. It had about an inch and a half of paint. Sidewalk settlement, as we talked about before.
Where's that?
I don't know where that one is. It's throughout all our new subdivisions, varying extent.
And is that like Flat Meadows? Where is that at? What subdivision?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's again, varying extent, they're in all those newer subdivisions. This is a newer phenomenon where the manholes are in the sidewalk, should not be there, for one. And the manhole is staying in place. It's not moving. But the sidewalks nearby have been moving. And there may be something else going on here that I don't understand. But suffice to say, that needs to be fixed, and we will start Monday, i.e. Monday coming, to remove and replace. And we will go with a lower frame to be able to have a uniform grade across it.
You know where that is?
Savoy. Madrona Village. Savoy, Cambria, and Pekin Lane. I got six of them. Not as ugly as this, but definitely where we, for safety reasons, put barricades.
Sure.
Off system, or just this one has a barricade? All of them have a barricade, or just this one?
All of them have a barricade unless the little children have moved the barricade.
So then I asked, sorry, Greg, bear with me on this one. Was this just a flaw in the planning that we allowed through? You put them in the sidewalk? I guess we're here on the ground.
The idea was to put them in the streets and on the sidewalk was so we could find them, and in the winter times you could always have access to get to them. That was the idea of putting them in the sidewalk and in the street.
They're normally in the street, though, right?
Most of the sooner it should be in the right of way, not in the middle of the street.
Oh, all right. Well, the curves are in the right of way between the sidewalk and the curb. That's what you'll see that when you do some of the improvements. That's the idea. That's our standard way to do this now. Some of these I look at were like, why is there a valve here? Why is it going that way? It's more of this stuff. We'll get at that at this point. But it's not the standard anymore.
One of the challenges, not to dwell on this too much, is why we have these situations. Our newer subdivision roads are curvilinear, and so we don't want to bend the sanitary sewer or storm sewer all that much. On some subdivision streets, that sanitary sewer on manhole could be in the road, could be in the parkway, or could be, but in my opinion, should not be in the sidewalk, period. Because even if it wasn't this ugly, any settlement could happen. And we've then got some liability. That's Monday morning quarterback. This was in with. It's in front of the school district administrative support center east of the high school. There's a block in with that over the years had settle, the border had loosened up, and it opened up enough that there was a good sinkhole there. So two of my guys, with a little bit of input from me and some sidewalk supervision, they did an excellent job. Could they have done a little better in paving that thing to where it wouldn't bond? But water's flowing, and they felt very good about themselves, as do I. Try and wrap this up. Landscape and trees, We've got about 60 acres that are mowed. Vast majority by our contractor. I do want to rebid rather than redo the contract because I think we can be better at defining their task with some flexibility. There's a seasonal definition of what task to do when that makes sense, but it does not take into account the drought. And so we pay for mowing even though it wasn't done, or needed to be done. So I want to get better control of that. And I'd like to have some built into the contract price per core. If Don, you call me, hey, Park Road hasn't gotten done. If I'm using my man hours elsewhere, I want to know in advance how much it'll cost me for acres or whoever gets the contract. They'll give me an hour worth of services. Similarly, tree trimming, potentially, site distance and branches hanging down over the sidewalk. Being a hazard to pedestrians. It's good rainy day filler work, but if I got a lot of it, again, in the landscape contract, I want to have that flexibility.
Is that, could that be the same contract with the
landscape
company?
Yes. Sensitive subject, let me at least put it on the table for another day. We got over 100 dead or almost dead parkway trees. I've been dragging my feet to remove them because most of them have come from resident complaints. And you know what I'm about to say, okay? Please take it out and give me a replacement tree. And I have said, because of our budgetary situation, we don't have the funding to replace the tree. Suggestion, please think about the 50-50 cost share for next fiscal year. We budget whatever we can budget. Let me take $10,000 and we're willing to spend up to that amount if the demand is greater than that. That's the list that carries over to next year. Some municipalities have that type of approach. But we got to do something, in my opinion, other than just cut the tree down and then dig out the stump. Most of me thinks we'd be better served having a nursery that hopefully stays in business, like the last one that we contracted with, out of business, and hold 20% of the trees they planted for us, let's go back about a year ago, and not survive. And we got no recourse because they come down the aisle. Parkway damage from plowing. I do believe, you know, we got the one event on the second. I got my wish at the snow event right after I got here of how conscientious a guy felt. And with the curvilinear streets, mountable curves, we will damage some of the parkway. I want to try some delineators. Hopefully the young children don't take them home, but at least in the areas that got serious curvature, where it's difficult to know where the curve is, we'll try. Equipment is my lifeblood, our lifeblood, getting work accomplished. You might recall the first time I was here, attend at the board meeting, that was December 5th, and then February 8th, you might recall in my final interview, describing my experience of having in-house equipment mechanic, vehicle mechanic. Now, having been here 6 months and seeing what we have for equipment, we need to do a better job maintaining our equipment. Got about a half a man here, and that's a guesstimate of time spent in the shop. Predominantly repairing small things, doing oil changes, and it's people I've had late, now gone, enjoyed that and seem to be a fairly thorough, conscientious person. But I don't have a person that I feel good about trying to train up, spend more time in maintaining our equipment. So from my perspective, and please accept I'm sensitive to us using the revenue we have to support business. I do not think with having one full-time equipment mechanic to take care of the small stuff, small, not in size of equipment, but in complexity, we will rid ourselves from reliance on A-tire, Ingleside. Hopefully we rid ourselves from needing international. I'm happy with that the whole thing for that. So I ask for your consideration, thought, and further discussion when we get to the budget of having someone that would take care of all the villages, vehicles and equipment from a routine and small repair basis. We would continue to do weekly inspection, safety check, and obviously be responsible for cleaning. This is an area that in and of itself needs more emphasis from me. Need some follow up when we do that quick look, okay, that light bulb's burned out, and then some days later, buildings and grounds, not a lot of effort on our part. We have 8 generators, again, 5 over in the lift station that we check, 2 in the water facility, 1 by Billy Boyle went out at Nickerson. We need to continue with that effort. We do have a contract for major inspection, and that has served us well, the combination. Small effort, a guesstimate, again, because we cannot get track of time. We do okay for the few irrigation systems we have of servicing them. I'm not satisfied with how we've got stuff stored. Out back, we can do better. I want to get some of those precast concrete, end-of-day runs, big blocks that you can build storage vehicles, open storage type stuff. We can do better in the garage area as far as the community support. 3 times a week, we go downtown to empty the trash containers with 3 people. And get it done and limit to about an hour. that's a fair number of hours. So landscape contact, someone else to at least consider having someone else do it. At least don't think, I think that's the right answer, but I think it's worth looking at. So that I could use those 500 hours potentially elsewhere.
Can we add this into our journey?
It's a good question. I guess I would wish I could ask any of the folks that have been trusted by the document to look at it. But part of the two wheels you just asked from the contract team at commercial would be a whole beyond.
Down home and
on my watch, I always ask myself and discuss with the crew, what could we do better? What did we learn from this session? My whole point is, I want to keep doing those things, be part of it. That's our best estimate of on-the-clock time, not after-hour volunteer time. Some people like Kevin, he'll volunteer time for any of them. You can count on me being there. Others are looking more for some compensation. I listed special projects, and in my mind, same as special events. I very definitely want to, and we want to, be an organization that makes things happen. Park Road Park, I listed there as we started with clearing the staging area, estimate to cut that 6 foot wide trail, $200. We will go forward in the month of October. My struggle has been, once I started, I want to stay with it and finish it. And we've been bouncing around too much and putting out fires. So I'm only asking for the board to be mindful that what we want to be part of, we collectively need to be cognizant that it takes some time away from other things. This is why we exist. I was salivating over there.
So this will be your favorite one.
Yeah, I would not put a plow in that drive. So yeah. Winter off. I'm trying to wind down there, but topic discussion, policy consideration, as I took as a given that we should be able to sustain 24-hour winter operations, snow plowing, de-icing, as the event dictates. The question, and I've got 9 people counting myself, and we've been with 6 routes, we've been with 8 routes, 10 routes, and 12 routes. And my perspective, we migrate towards 8 plow routes. If we're going to go 24/7 sustained operation, that's 16. My opinion, in a big event, we need someone to be a snow boss, one of them days, one of them nights. And so that's 18, and then 2 people as, call them backup. Somebody's sick, somebody's on vacation. I don't know that we can afford that. So as Mark and I went through this, we agreed I would put it on the table for further discussion and refinement by me coming to a fairly soon discussion how much would it cost us to be able to sustain operation. A very definite dilemma is we pay $10 an hour for snowbirds, everybody else pays $25 to $30 now. I don't have an easy answer for that. Police will help, but again, I'm looking for commitment, not that I'm going to have to use them every time, but a commitment of augmentation. So please let's sometime soon have some more discussion on that. Where we've been is we're into getting the equipment ready, putting new plow blades on our plows where the new blade is needed, servicing the water and salt dispensing equipment, route familiarization, haven't yet gotten into that. That's a fairly benign easy thing. Until you're into it at 2 in the morning, then you've forgotten. Oh, yeah, there is a fire hunting in there, and then the actual operation, there's obviously quite a variability. Looking at what we told IDOT for motor fuel tax charges, recognizing that's not necessarily all, that's a money justification, I'm going to tell you a typical winner, whatever that means, is going to require something in that range of hours for maybe some anti-icing, de-icing with salt, and plow. And then end of season, putting stuff away, hopefully doing a better job of cleaning and checking so we don't have to do as much of it in September, October. Last functional area listed is technical training. We need to do better. I need to get to a training plan with each employee so there's more definition than there has been. And that's an estimate of time on the clock and actually attend training. So this has a man-hour focus, this slide, and again, good exercise for me to look at the major tasks. We do or should do estimating what time is needed and then what do I have available today?
Position
if for variety of considerations, if you don't get there, then my desired outcome is for me to be able to hire a full-time maintenance worker to position. Again, I did not view today's meeting as a decision-making meeting. I fully understand the challenge. Part of me doesn't want to understand the challenge, just want to go fix things. But I intend to be here as your public work director.
Yes. So are your resources fairly fungible from the standpoint that you don't have, other than the mechanic, obviously the mechanic requires certain skills and correct training. Can anybody do any of those jobs you're outlining, or are there specific skills needed if you're some of those such that you know, you're not just looking at a bulk $2,900 you're needing. You have a full-time mechanic, plus you're going to have this kind of skill, this kind of skill.
Excellent question. We do have one board being with a water license. The new employee we hired has a water license. There's nothing in the position description for the maintenance worker to have a water license. So that's an added thing. There is a requirement in the board position as a foreman to have a license. We need, so I'm going to try as best I can to answer the question outside of what I just said for the foreman position. Nothing in the position description that defines specialization. Okay. If we go forward with an equipment operator, equipment mechanic, clearly that position description would have requirements. How do we use the people today? I'm going to speak out of both sides of my mouth. Part of me wants generalists that are capable, subjective term, of doing all the tasks that we do. And by and large, the crew members that I have now achieve that, meet that expectation. Balance that against people that have better skills in a given area. I, recognizing that, can you set up the weekly schedule to utilize those people either individually or leading informally a two-person, three-person group? I've got two people now with the new hire that are too good at concrete work. We did some concrete work at the entrance of the salt barn because the asphalt had been breaking up. And so my new person lived there. Two person, three person crew. I'm very pleased. So Kevin is a talented electrician. We still use him to pick up trash bags to be part of the crew. He takes that in his stride and he wants to be part of the crew. But if there's electrical gas, give him the person I got. Don't tear down plus rebuild. Kevin started training Blake on the first one. Blake's gone. Kevin will be training others to some extent. There again, the balancing act, where do I allocate man hours for on-the-job training?
Yeah. I'll get the board's aware of the new person's name that you've hired.
Keith Miller, why doesn't the board? I guess I'll take the blamed for that for not thinking to send an email to you saying
that. I don't think that's to be blame. I just responded over the new person's life.
His father was the public works director of Munger Line. He came from Libertyville. He had an incident where he got a citation on his time in the vehicle that caused his CDL to be pulled, that caused him to lose his job. Mark and I have interviewed him twice and pressed him pretty hard. And I have my own things in my past that I wish I didn't do. Mark and I agreed we're going to give him a chance. So far, him having now completed 2 weeks on the clock, I think we made a good decision. But I'm not.
And he had a CDL?
He got it. Yeah, it was reinstated.
Yes.
Another thing I want to point out is just the numbers off of your number too. The numbers that you have here in the summary, you didn't pull out the numbers that you were anticipating that you'd like to request for contracting. So potentially you could fill out the we under our possible dollars as well over here.
Correct.
Okay. So far this was the two categories that start my package missing on the detail summary from the question building ground and landscape. So just between the sanitary sewer and the street, we're looking at a little over $1,300 just to know the sanitary that we're talking about contracting out versus the sort of claim that there's just three of those hours right there alone that already cut this stuff with it. So that's
No. We have just had the guys in public works. They weren't trained.
We've never had those.
I've been requesting that for a while.
Thank you, Don.
Let me just run through this very quickly, the last two slides. General summary, recommendations. I am very glad that I'm here going to council. And as you know, I've lived in a variety of places. Illinois, the garden spot of the University of
Knowledge.
Having lived in a variety of places, I firmly believe that happiness is what you make out of wherever you're at. And from the job standpoint, as I said at the beginning, I enjoy coming to work. I feel very good about the staff that I have and their ability to grow. I need to keep helping them grow and develop and nurture them with their kind of short term. And as you had done back about 2 months ago, that was very positive and I want to say very rewarding for the crew to feel appreciated. Help me going forward, stop on the job, bite your tongue if it looks like they're not working. That's that snapshot in time that all public works agencies are going to get. But stop and say hello. Make them feel important. From my 6 months on the job and 40 years of maintaining infrastructure, we've got some challenges. Does not mean the sky is falling. Please don't think I'm saying that. But I don't want the sky to fall. and that commitment to prevent maintenance on our water, sewer, and ideally road system. That's the tougher one to figure out. I've said this, I'm going to say it, and if it sounds crude, forgive me, the infrastructure does not do a rat's ass about our funding problem. I'm limited in debt and staff to help out. And you go do a special study. You go inventory something and give me recommendations. I'm not suggesting adding someone. I'm not suggesting adding another assistant supervisor, assistant director. As Mark and I have talked several times, as I enjoy the job, as I enjoy being involved, as I enjoy variety, and have always been a 60-hour plus per week person, and I keep track. My wife's almost as bad as I am, but I'm here by myself most of the time, so you're going to get way more than 40 hours a week. I have to manage my time better than I've been able to stay focused on a task, crack seal, expose myself there. I intended to get that out to bed a while ago. But still be able to do it, but it should not be a last minute thing. I don't want to be your public works director that's operating at the last minute all the time. From some specificity, and from my perspective, given the estimating and focusing on major tasks, your analysis going on. When I got done looking at the numbers, I was not trying to complete them. I was not starting with an answer and backing the study into it. I then went back anticipating, well, how do we avoid hiring another FTE? There are options. What can I agree? Let's not try and add to that today's discussion with exploring options. I did not put the financial impacts of these needs, and these needs are more than just one position. It's what's the material cost, what's the cost of a vacuum, and the substantive item. What do we need to do from a work standpoint, recognizing there's a lot of at the margin, up or down.
It can be certainly some of the cost of the back there versus the hours that we can. So if we do it sustainable and more beneficial for our team, the additional resource use them versus
That's the further peeling apart of this puzzle, or putting this puzzle together.
And again,
we've got equipment that needs some tender loving care and improvements to the liability. So whether we do that by forming out more maintenance repair and that equipment, or if you're trying to do it in-house, we need to do something more than we've been doing and maintaining the equipment we have.
Speaking of the supplemental question, our equipment we have, do we have too much, too little, or are we relatively inexpensive to pay so?
We have room, we have 17 pieces of equipment, 15 or 16 have plow. That's our most equipment-intense pond. So I've got some room for a vehicle to go down if it's a pickup or a one-ton. If it's a real dump truck, I go to a 10-yarder. We're, more herding at the time.
Yeah, we need to, because we have a lot of miles on our equipment, and we even haven't had a plan of public works to change our equipment.
And
it's more on the replacement versus
yes.
We're sending a boy to command's job when it comes to plowing real estate. Pickups and the one guns are not stout enough to stay in that fight. And especially given the age and given the lack of maintenance. Again, I'm glad to at least see one snow event. But it was a 5-hour event.
Okay, I'll take the 5-hour event.
As I mentioned, the roads and the road condition and limited money to contract scope work, I very definitely want to spend some time exploring what can we do better at. Not suggesting at this time we need a consultant to update our 2007-2008 statement management report. I don't know. Mark and I will come back to you on this after we spend some more time.
The statement management report is more of an assessment of what the state of the roads are.
Correct.
More than a plan for how to maintain it, right?
Correct.
So
that's a little bit of what we're doing. Yeah, it's really, it adds some initial priorities for.
Oh, that's right. It
yeah,
adds the initial priorities.
But and you could use it for a period of time to look at it. But, you know, part of that problem that we discussed, I think, is that doesn't give you the right balance for long-term sustainability versus major capital restructure, you know. And that's where I think we're seeing, though, like some of these, like, for example, the road that was shown, we got to get that and get it early, and we need to attack other roads to prevent that much degradation, too. That's what we're at. I think that's what we're at. Like, I'm trying to figure out what we need to do with that. It did have some strategy.
Oh, and then the last comment I want to offer as part of the presentation. I said it already. I'm intending clearly to have, by the start of the new calendar year, an annual plan. We'll find it as time goes on, of course, but much better work planning and work track, work accomplished track and demand. Thank you.
Questions?
Please.
It's been brought to the board's attention, and I brought it to your attention, Ron, that we have maybe possible OSHA deficiency. Are you able to check to see the fire department or the village is OSHA compliant?
As fast as I can tell you, and I apologize, I don't think I gave you that feedback. Yes, we are compliant in terms of harnesses, in terms of oxygen sensors in going into confined space.
Okay.
So the manhole on Nipper Sink has all the safety stuff that's needed to go down to that manhole.
The lift station, Nipper Sink has listed for free?
For free, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I went down, not for the reason of you questioning, but I wanted to see if we were having some roof skate indicator that one of the pumps, now remember the end of the match. And yes, I put on a harness and the safety ladder and its attaching mechanism. We have several of those, and while I am not an OSHA safety expert, I believe that is the compliant device and was used before I got there, but the employee that went in, and so I took the other one that was brought out to the site, should that employee get shot or have a heart attack or something.
Because the lid on that was held by a nail. Will you have a look at that?
No.
Okay.
But a little.
Okay.
I think we did have rails.
So if we were able to offload the striper, what would be the most likely anticipate as money back out?
Using it, but for what balance they can have. The difference of what Rod's looking at versus what Brown Beach does, the cold mix or packaging, and I'm looking at using great number of stuff inside so we can use the hot last year and preview and hours ahead of time. Most people that use the hot box are using the cold patch mix. So I'm looking at using the more efficient basic mix for packaging. So better equipment to utilize that property for sure.
I'm all in favor of the hot box approach. Just wondering how you can do it a little more cost effectively. You can get a I mean, I realize it's in our budget, but we can only take so many things from our budget, and obviously what we're showing is what we don't know for our budget as a whole. So I'm just trying to look at creative accounting about what's holding the double space for the practice, so the former best is what the job is well. For it's been a lot of paper, but for 9 hours that they've been putting to the whole thing, versus the hot mix, because
And so some of that's in this looking forward. repairing, concrete curbing, fixing the sidewalk for the remaining curb pad. Trying to do more in patching or deteriorating tape, that again remains the toughest one for us to organize ourselves. And that's where again, Mark and I need to spend some time trying to dig our way out of that hole, pardon the expression. That was not easy.
I think I think you're rightly trying to shift from more of a reactive to a proactive and get more into maintenance so that when you get a call from residents, you can say, oh, yeah, we're scheduled to fix that and
Address
this for a couple months and then you can make an assessment whether it makes sense to send a crew out to fix that particular problem, but at least you can give an answer that is not somewhat contractive. That you know that there is this problem already and you're affecting some schedules. So I think you're heading in the right direction. Obviously, it's going to take a while to get there. Good deal.
Well, other concerns, suggestions? I very much appreciate questioning the attentiveness. I played phone tag with Sonia, and the voice message I left her with Sonia, I'm happy to give you a summary, certainly I'm happy to walk through those slides with her so she has at least the opportunity to know what we're presenting. This is again the beginning of some discussion. Mark said there's some policy questions, issues. We need your thoughts, comfort, discomfort, to get, we don't want this to be an academic exercise. I don't view it that way, and very good questions asked. I don't see that it's an end of an academic exercise. Will I get everything I want? I hope so. I'll bring that to you, Vicki. Help me first on the table.
One of the things I'd like to interject is that, when we look at special meetings, when we look at committee the whole in particular, this is probably one department in particular that its scope is so wide and it can go in so many different directions, and it is such a priority to the village that having the extra meeting, I thought was great. Not only informative, but it kind of puts us in check too where we're leading the goal for the next year or so. So I'm really proud for doing that, and I'm hoping that this isn't the only one we have, because committee of the whole aspect of my ordinance is just not enough to adequately take care of this particular department.
And I appreciate you giving them your time on a Saturday.
All I have to say is pretty much reaching in terms of what I've been saying for 3 years and where we're at.
Back off the center of the elevator, but it's nice to let out what we go forward. If people come across, we should see the broad scope of everything, what all should be done, but when we are saying, yeah, I approve this, but what we have to go out the pipeline. Now we have a little bit more of a general idea what you really have the pipeline to go and make a little bit more decisions off that. So I think, yeah, that was very thank you.
I guess I'll close in this sort of light-hearted statement then. Mark and I are looking at something Lakewood Terrace project there. And I started back that way. Mark didn't see that. I didn't see this. And I'm glad to have Mark adult sightings in the pool. And most of the time I'm glad to have it in hearing still. I think I'm mature enough to know it under there. Mark's comments, you're supposed to know those things. I thought we hired the Messiah. So I'm sorry to disappoint you. You're going to hire the Messiah. I will tell you, I don't know the answer. I'm not going to try to bullshit my way through something. I will do better at getting answers and giving that feedback. That's part of my frustration, chasing my tail. From the territory. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Motion by Simon Sally.
Second by all.
I think that's perfect.